Hello, I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church. We're a church seeking to make disciple-making disciples of Jesus. Thank you to Life FM for continuing to host us. Today, as we look to God's Word, our reading is Luke 18, 1-8. So you can begin looking that up now. This sermon was recorded live at Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and the preacher is Michael Risk, the minister at Rochester Presbyterian Church. After reading the passage, we'll hear the children's talk. So if you have children, make sure they're listening. And then we'll go to the sermon. And so let's read Luke 18, 1-8.
And he told them a parable to the effect that they ought always to pray and not lose heart. He said, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected man. And there was a widow in that city who kept coming to him and saying, give me justice against my adversary. For a while he refused, but afterward he said to himself, though I neither fear God nor respect man, yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice, so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming. And the Lord said, hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect, who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them? I tell you, he will give justice to them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth?
So today in church, we're looking at the passage that Sue just read out for us from the parable of the persistent widow. But before I get into that passage, I want to ask you guys a question. I wonder if you can help me. When bad things happen, who do you go to for help? When something bad happens, who do you go to? Yeah, Hannah. Mum or dad. Yeah, mum and dad are great people to go to. What about in other circumstances, perhaps at school? Who we might go to at school if something bad happened? Yeah? We'll go to teachers. What about other people? Is there any other people we could go to besides mum, dad, and teachers? Yeah. God, we can come to God, that's right. And that's where we're going to land at the end of our talk. But also, there's other people we can talk to. In the Bible, when problems happen, do you know who we would go to in the Bible? We would go to judges. There were judges in towns that if we had a problem, if there was something that happened, we could go to a judge. And a judge was instructed to help people to settle problems, to settle disputes. And here in our parable, in our passage today, Jesus introduces us to two types of judges, a good judge and a bad judge. Let's talk about the first judge. The first judge, we're being told, is a man who has no respect for God and no love for his fellow man. And if you come to this judge, he will say, I don't want to talk to you. Go away. It's like if you guys came up to me and said, hey, Michael, can you help me with this problem? And I would just say, no, go away. Don't bother me. I have no time for you. Now, what kind of judge am I at this point? Am I being a good judge or a bad judge? What do you guys think? A bad judge. Because I'm not listening. I'm not helping. I'm not caring. I'm not loving. Well, how about this second one? This second judge, if you come to him, he listens. If you come to him, he cares. If he come to him, he loves you and cares for you. It's like if you come to me, Michael, can you please help me with my problem? And I go, of course. Let me listen. Let me help. Let's see what I can do. And am I being a bad judge or a good judge? A good judge. Yeah. And Jesus tells us this story because he wants to show us who God is like. He wants to show us that God is not like this bad judge who does not listen, but God is a good judge who listens, who hears the cries of his people, who comes to their aid, and he does that speedily. And God shows us his love in the greatest way possible. He shows us his great love by sending Jesus. He sent Jesus to die for our sins, so that we can know God and be in relationship with him. And Jesus still loves and cares for us. the hands that bled for us continue to comfort us. They continue to guard us and shield us and help us. So when we're feeling that we are struggling and that we need help, as we said before, we can come to God. And Jesus encourages us to do that, to come to Him, to not lose heart, but to always pray. How about we do that now? We'll pray to God and ask that we would continue to depend on Him and that we would continue to know His love. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your great, amazing love, which we just sang about earlier, about how You have revealed Your grace and Your love to us, how You've revealed that to us in and through the Lord Jesus. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You bled and died for us, and that because of You, Lord Jesus, we can know You, we can know God. We thank You, Lord Jesus, that You are a good judge who listens and cares for His people. Our Father, we pray that You would help us to know Your great love and help us to seek You always, especially when we need it most. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, friends, as we turn now to God's Word, let's come together again in prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we now look more in depth at this passage of Scripture, as we look together at Luke 18 and the persistent widow, we pray that as we open up Your Word together, that You would help us to see wonderful things. Our Father, we pray, Lord, that You would remove every distraction that may hinder that. Lord, if there are things from the week that has gone by or the week that is ahead, we pray that You remove those distractions from us and help us, O God, to be able to sit at Your feet, to be able to fix our eyes on the Lord Jesus. Our Father, we pray that Your Word would do exactly what You have purposed for it today, and that it would not return to You empty. Our Father, I pray that You would be with me, Your servant, as I preach Your Word now. I pray, Lord, that the words that I speak today would be Your words. Lord, that You would bless the preparation I have done. Father, that You would give me conviction and clarity as I preach Your Word now. Our Father, we pray that You would please be with each of us. Be powerfully at work by Your Spirit. And we pray all this in Jesus' name and for His sake. Amen. There is a movie, Frozen. It's a much-loved movie by many little girls. Perhaps you have a daughter, a sister, a granddaughter, or niece who, when she watched the movie, she fell in love. As she would watch the movie on repeat, encouraging that family movies, we would watch the movie Frozen. As she would sing the songs, she would dance to the music, and perhaps she would even reenact some of the scenes. There is one scene in particular that I'm thinking about. It's when Anna, the smaller of the two girls, comes to her sister's door, Elsa, and she knocks on the door. And she asks her sister, "Will you come and build a snowman?" Perhaps you're like me and you're very, very familiar with this scene. But if you're not, let me describe what happens. Anna comes to her sister Elsa's door and she knocks. And she sings, "Do you want to build a snowman? Do you want to go out and play? I think some company is overdue and I've started talking to the pictures on the wall." I think I've got that right. And she sings to her sister, "Come out and play." But what's Elsa's reply? "Go away, Anna." That's right. And what does Anna do? As she tries again and again. For years she does this. She keeps knocking on Elsa's door, but she gets the same response again and again. "Go away, Anna." And after 10 years of trying, of pleading, of asking Anna if she wants to build a snowman and being told to go away, what happens? Well, eventually, Anna gives up. Her persistence, it comes to an end. As she no longer knocks on Elsa's door, she just walks by it. Friends, for 10 years, Anna persisted in trying to get Elsa to come out of her room, to come and play with her, to spend some time with her. But eventually, she just gives up. I think, friends, each of us will have moments like this, won't we? When there'll be times when we give up, when we stop persisting, when we ourselves have had enough of hitting our head against the brick wall, tired of seeing no results, and we decide to just throw in the towel. Like Anna, we'll just walk past that door. And sometimes, sadly, friends, sometimes very sadly, this can happen in our own Christian walk, can't it? When we see no results, when we fall on hard times, when we question, Lord, are you even there? During these seasons, we may stop praying for people. We may stop praying altogether. We may put our Bible down for a couple of days, only to realize that we haven't picked it up in several months or even several years. During difficult seasons, we may even stop coming to church. And in some very, very sad cases, some people, we perhaps even know some, will stop persisting, stop walking with Jesus, throw in the towel, walk past the door, give up on the faith. I once knew a man who, when he fell on hard times, instead of finding comfort and rest in the Lord Jesus, he instead turned to self. He thought it would be a good idea to focus on himself, and he was encouraged by others to take a break from church, to take a break from all things to do with Jesus. So you know what he did? He did just that. Instead of finding comfort in the Lord Jesus when he needed him most, at his lowest point, he just gave up. He stopped persisting. Christian, I'm here to tell you here today that Jesus knows. Jesus knows that living for him wasn't going to be a bed of roses. Jesus knows that walking in his ways, he knew it wasn't going to be easy. Jesus knows that the Christian life can be a hard path to walk. This is what the Lord Jesus said. He said to follow him meant walking along a narrow path where few tread. And he exhorted his disciples, if you would come after me, you'll have to carry your cross. We live in a fallen world, friends, where there is sin, where there is disaster, where there is persecution, there is sickness, there is death. And Jesus wants to tell each of us, he wants to tell each of us here today, don't give up. Don't give up. Don't be like Anna who walked past that door, but keep knocking. Keep persisting. But we ask, in what ways does Jesus want us to keep persisting? Or Jesus wants us to persist in living for, in praying for his kingdom and his return. Let me give a bit of context to this parable that we're looking at today. Prior to this parable in Luke chapter 17, verse 20, Jesus is asked by the Pharisees, Jesus, when will the kingdom of God come? When will the kingdom of God come? And Jesus tells them that the Son of Man will come without warning. And no one knows the day or hour of his return. But Jesus tells the Christian, as you wait for my return, don't give up. And he tells his disciples, until the Son of Man returns, the days ahead of you will be like the days of Noah. The days ahead of you will be like the days of Lot. What is Jesus trying to tell us here? He's saying that the days ahead of you will be dark days. The days ahead of you will see ungodliness. You will see corruption. Sin will be in vogue. But Jesus encourages us from this passage here today from Luke 18, despite, friends, what you see around us, keep persevering. Keep living for and praying for his kingdom and his return. And to encourage the Christian, Jesus tells us this parable, to always pray and to not lose heart. And as we look at this parable, we're going to focus in on three characters. Three characters we're going to be looking at today. The first is the pompous judge. The second, the persistent widow. And then third, the philanthropic God. In verse 2, friends, we meet our first character, the pompous judge. And Jesus says to us, verse 2, in a certain city there was a judge who neither feared God nor respected men. Now, this doesn't sound right, does it? Weren't judges meant to be men of great standing within a town? Weren't judges meant to be able to preserve domestic harmony, to save the Israelites from their neighbors, and to uphold justice? Weren't judges meant to protect the widow and the orphan and the foreigner? Yet this judge we meet in this parable doesn't fit that mold. He is a man that does not fear God, nor does he have any regard for his fellow man. What is Jesus trying to tell us by introducing us to this pompous judge? Well, Jesus is setting the scene for his disciples. He's setting the scene for us. That until the Son of Man returns, until Jesus returns, the days ahead of us will be like the days of Noah. The days ahead of us will be like the days of Lot. Until Jesus returns and establishes his kingdom, he says, expect to see ungodliness. Expect to see injustice. It saddens us, doesn't it, when we hear stories of corruption, stories of injustice. Our hearts cry out when we see it happen. We often say to ourselves, it shouldn't be like this. It shouldn't be like this. A few years ago, I met a man named John Button. And I heard John's story. How John was falsely imprisoned for a crime he did not commit. In 1963, John Button was charged for his girlfriend's death. In 2002, he was vindicated and compensated. But this vindication took almost 40 years. 40 years. In his talk, he spoke about the hardships of losing his girlfriend, the police forcing a false confession out of him, his time in prison, and the depression that lingered many, many, many years later. It was a story that pulled on the heartstrings. A great injustice was caused by this, against this man, and it took years of his life. It pains us when we hear when our justice system fails us, doesn't it? When those who have a responsibility to look after us don't. The judge, friends, in our story has failed us. He is meant to look after the vulnerable, to administer justice. But this judge, this pompous judge, has no love nor regard for his fellow man. And when he sees this widow come to him and ask for justice, he refuses. He just ignores her. By introducing us to this pompous, unrighteous judge who only thinks of himself, Jesus wants us to know what things will be like during these last days. That until Jesus returns and establishes his kingdom fully and finally, he says there won't be peace. There'll be no utopia. But just as the Apostle Paul says from Titus chapter 3, people will be lovers of self, being hated and hating one another. What's Jesus telling us? Or sin will be in vogue. And yet Jesus says in the midst of all this, he says, don't give up. Don't give up. And he introduces us to the persistent widow. Have a look at verse 3. Verse 3, we meet a woman who has come to this judge petitioning him to give her justice against her adversary. Now, widows were among the most forgotten people in ancient societies, often treated poorly and destined for a life of slavery, begging, or prostitution. However, in God's eyes, widows were among those who deserved his special care and protection. In the book of James, we read that God cares for the widow and the orphan, and he wants his people to care for them too. It was therefore this judge's responsibility to care for this widow in the midst of her tragedy. Now, something has happened to this poor widow. We don't know what's happened. But her adversary, the one who has wronged her, still lives. And she wants justice. She wants the judge to take up her case, to intercede for her, to help her, to be there for her, to care for her. But this judge just refuses. He neither fears God nor cares about others. Yet verse 3 tells us that our widow persists. In the midst of her hardship, she persists in asking for justice. Our friends, we don't know what this looks like, but perhaps every day she's at 8 a.m. as this judge perhaps leaves the house to go to work. As she's there, waiting. Perhaps when he arrives home after work at 6 p.m., she's there again. She's waiting. On Saturdays, maybe as he goes for his afternoon stroll, she is there, waiting. What our passage is telling us is this widow is continually coming to this man. Every time she sees him, she asks for justice. But he just ignores her. He neither fears God nor cares about what people think of him. But then verse 5, the judge says, "Yet because this widow keeps bothering me, I will give her justice so that she will not beat me down by her continual coming." Now, verse 5 is not suggesting some sort of beat down, that this widow is going to eventually come at him with a cricket bat. Verse 5 could be translated as, "I will give her justice so that she will not continually come and wear me out." That she will not continually come and wear me out. What this judge is saying is that this widow's relentlessness, her persistence, is making him tired. She's making him grow weary. It's like the dripping of a tap, you know? That as you may try and ignore it, but just slowly as the tap just goes drip, 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 drip. That small little dripping becomes so annoying, doesn't it? And all you get worn out, you get tired, and all you want to do is turn that tap off. That's what's happening to our judge. This judge is experiencing a dripping tap with this persistent woman. He has grown tired through her persistence. And our passage is saying to us, friends, be like that persistent widow. Now let me say, our passage is not saying, be annoying to those you find unpleasant. But rather, Jesus wants us to see the character of this persistent widow. That in the midst of her great trials, her hardships, she did not give up. That's what Jesus is exhorting us to do. In the midst of our great trials, in the midst of our hardships, as we live in a fallen world, we are to follow her example. We are to keep persisting, to not give up. And why does Jesus exhort us to do this? Well, he says, because justice will come. And this brings us to our third and final character. Our third character is the philanthropic God. Verse 6 and 7, "And the Lord said, 'Hear what the unrighteous judge says. And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them?'" Jesus says, look at this unjust judge. Look at him. He was pompous. He was unrighteous. For an undisclosed time, he ignored this poor, neglected widow. But look, this judge eventually gave her justice. And look now. Jesus says, God isn't like that. God isn't like that. God is not an unjust judge. God is just. God is good. He is compassionate. He is kind. God is loving. God will give justice. Our first reading from Isaiah reminds us that those who trust in the Lord, who come to Him, He will provide them with justice. He will set them free. He will release them from their captivity. God, Jesus is God's chosen instrument to save. Jesus is God's chosen instrument to provide hope to his people. And Jesus did this first and foremost for dying for his people. On the cross, Jesus died for his people. He set them free from their sin. The justice that was meant to be poured out on them, Jesus bore. Jesus took their shame, their punishment, their penalty, and he bore that upon himself. The justice that was meant for you and I, for the Christian, Jesus bore upon himself. And Scripture tells us that when Jesus returns, when he returns, it won't be to save, but to administer justice. To those whom he saved, the penalty has already been paid. Justice was already administered. Those whom God has saved, they will be welcomed into his kingdom. But to those who have rejected the Lord Jesus, who have not had their sins paid for, who have celebrated sin and lived for themselves and not for the Lord Jesus, they will experience then God's justice. When Jesus returns, it will be to condemn sin. It will be to administer justice. Friends, I don't know where you're at today. I don't know your position before the Lord Jesus. Whether you have accepted the Lord Jesus into your heart, that you believe that he is your Lord and your Savior. But if that isn't you here today, if you have not yet come to that place, there is still time. But Jesus is in the work of saving, of bearing that justice, that penalty, that punishment upon himself. If we but come to him and respond to his love and his grace, he will save and he will restore. During these last days, as we wait for the return of the Lord Jesus, he is saving a people to himself. And he invites each of us to come near to him, to draw near to him, to find his love and his care. One day Jesus will return. But until that day, until the day of the Lord Jesus, we live in the days of Noah. Until the day that the Lord Jesus returns, we live in the days of Lot. Where there will be ungodliness. Where there will be wickedness. But Jesus exhorts us to persevere. And as he exhorts us to persevere, he comforts us with this promise. He comforts us that God cares and God listens. Have a look again with me at verse 7. Verse 7. Jesus says, "And will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Will he delay long over them?" This question posed in the Greek suggests an affirmative answer. Will God not hear the cries and prayers of his people? Well, of course he will hear them. God is not like this unjust judge who doesn't care. God will listen to the prayers of his people. And unlike this pompous judge, he will be quick to answer. God will take up their case. He will intercede for his people. He will help his people. And what does this look like? What does this help, this care look like? Well, it looks like when our faith looks like it's about to fail, Jesus will help us to persevere. When we cry out to the Lord to help us in our trials, he will give us what we need to make it through to the other side. So often in our Christian walk, it can feel like we're in a storm, can't it? Where we're tossed to and fro by the waves. Now, Jesus doesn't say in the storm, I will make the waters calm. But there is a promise, isn't there, that he will be with us in the storm? Just as the disciples were out in the storm on the raving seas, sometimes he helps them by calming the waves, but sometimes he's there with them, helps them to get to the other side. That's what Jesus does for us. He's not always going to calm the waters, but he'll help us to get through to the other side. We say, "He who died for you, will he not continue to help you as you live in a fallen world, a world filled with sin and unrighteousness?" Of course he will. Jesus will continue to help you. As a father picks up their child who has fallen down and he dusts them off, we ask, wouldn't Jesus do that for us? Of course he will. As we deal with trials and hardships of living in a fallen world, Jesus will help us to walk by the power of his Holy Spirit. Jesus picks us up when we have fallen down. He takes us by the hand and he helps us. He's there with us. But the question Jesus asks us now is, the question that he asks us is, will we give him a hand to hold on to? As Jesus takes us by the hand, will we follow him where he leads us? Jesus says to us, verse 8, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? In other words, Christian, in the midst of your trials, in the midst of your hardships, when things get hard in our Christian walk, will we remain faithful? Will we still be depending on Jesus? Will we still be living for the kingdom? Will we be still praying for his return? Jesus asks his disciples, he asks you, he asks me, will he still find faith on the earth? Will he still find his people standing and being faithful? Or will we be like Anna? Or will we be like Anna, who just walks past the door, no longer knocks, no longer persists, just walks past the door? Will Jesus find that we have grown weary, that we've given up, that we've thrown in the towel? Jesus is asking you, he's asking me, will we remain faithful to the very end? Will we continue to seek God? Will we continue to follow him? Will we continue to persist in praying for his kingdom and his return? Every Christian wants to remain in the strong embrace of God. Just as a parent starts walking, no child wants to be left behind. So the question we ask is, how do we ensure that our hand is being led by the Lord Jesus? How do we ensure that our hand is being led by the Lord Jesus? That we have taken his hand and that we are following him? Well, friends, as we end, I have two suggestions to bring forth from our passage to remain faithful. The first point of application is to keep praying. Keep praying. Jesus says we need to keep praying to God. We need to keep depending on him and asking for his help. God will answer our prayers. He will give us freedom. He will give us justice. He will give us what we need to keep on going. In the hymn, He Will Hold Me Fast, we sing these words. When I fear my faith will fail, Christ will hold me fast. When the tempter would prevail, he will hold me fast. What this hymn is addressing, what our passage is addressing, is that Jesus will be there in our hardships if we just but come to him, depend on him, ask him to help us. Our parable is saying that God will not just disappoint us. In the prayers that we have brought before him to persevere in the faith, he will answer. He will take up our case. He will be there for us. He will hold us fast. Jesus says that God is good. God is loving and just, and he delights to hear from us. He who chose you and redeemed you, will he not keep coming to your aid just as a father does for his children? Of course he will. The hands that bled for you, will they not comfort you? Of course they will. So Jesus wants us to keep praying. Jesus wants us to keep coming to him in prayer. Keep praying for renewal and restoration for this broken world. Keep praying that his kingdom would come. Keep praying that the name of Jesus would be known. Jesus wants us to keep praying. The second suggestion I want to bring for us today is to stay fresh. Jesus asks us to keep persevering and to not grow weary. And friends, a great way of not growing weary is to stay fresh. It is to find those things that will invigorate you in your Christian walk. And for each of us, this will be different. For some of us here, it will be immersing ourselves in God's Word. It will be reading Scripture, coming to the promises of God and finding comfort in them. For others here, it will be listening to sermons or podcasts. For you, it's perhaps maybe even reading a good Christian book. Or maybe, for us, it's listening to Christian music or fellowshipping with other believers. I want to suggest you find those things. Find those things that will help you to stay fresh in your Christian walk so that you don't grow weary. The Christian walk has its challenges. It has its difficulties. Jesus never promised us a bed of roses. We live in a broken world where there is injustice, where there is wickedness, pain, suffering, persecution, and death. And Jesus knows this. But Jesus gives us this message today to keep persisting, to keep knocking on that door. Keep coming to Him and relying on Him to strengthen you so that we do not grow weary, that we do not give up. How about we pray now and ask God to help us with all this? Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, there are many things in our lives, many things around us that take our focus from living for You and Your kingdom. And there are many things that will harm us, that will make us want to turn away from You, Lord Jesus, the God that we love, and turn to other things. And Lord, there will be times where in our life where things will get so difficult that we will even want to throw in the towel and give up the faith. Our Father, I pray for any of my brothers and sisters here who are really struggling right now, who have perhaps gotten tired. Perhaps they're in the midst of a great storm. I pray, dear Lord, that they would know Your comfort and Your peace, that You would be their great strength, their shield, and their reward. Father, I pray for each of us here that You would help us to keep coming to You, keep coming to Your promises, knowing that You will hold us fast. Our Father, we thank You for Your great love. We thank You for Your great comfort, which You show us in and through the Lord Jesus. It's in His name we pray. Amen.
I'm Jesse Walls from Eagle Hawk Presbyterian Church, and I pray you've been blessed as you've spent this time in God's Word. Next week, we'd love to have you join us in person for our service at 10 a.m. I hope to see you there. And as always, if you'd like to make a comment on what you've heard today, you have a question, or you're looking for a church, then please get in contact with us. Our website is eaglehawkpc.org.au. You can also contact us through Facebook or Instagram. God bless you.